God is faithful. So faithful. Well, we've been talking about what faith is. Go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11:1. Why don't you find three scriptures, Hebrews 11:1, John 20, 25, and Romans 4:17. So Hebrews 11:1, John 20, 25, and Romans 4:17. Still hear pages. All right, we all there? All right, Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Moffat's translation says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. We've been talking about what faith is for a while. And, you know, on Wednesdays we preach and teach on faith and healing. And faith, you can talk about faith, just never get too much of faith. Because faith is how we receive Jesus. Faith is how we contact God. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So when you get fed, your faith needs to be fed continually. And if you're ever tempted to feel, which we all are, to feel down or to feel discouraged or to feel like you don't have strength, you know what the problem is? You need to get some faith in you. That's what the problem is. Because if you were believing God, if you were looking to Him, there's no reason you'd be discouraged. If your faith was strong, then you would not be discouraged. If your faith was strong, you would not be sad. Because the Bible says, rejoice always. So if we're like, well, I just don't feel like it, our faith is not where it should be. So we can get fed in this area and be encouraged and be built up continually. And whether you know it or not, this is part of the extension of this ministry. You know, a graduate of Rhema, they call it Rhema Bible College now, but it was Rhema Bible Training Center when I went. And that was part of Brother Hagin's commission. God told him, go teach my people faith. And that's part of our commission too, because we graduated from the same school and Brother Hagin could not do it alone. That's why he started Rhema. That's why God told him to start Rhema. He didn't plan on starting Rhema. He was in a camp meeting and it came out of his mouth. He was on the platform and he said, we're going to start a Bible school. And they had to play the tape back to him. Because he said, I would not say that. That's not something I would say. And they literally had to play the tape back to him. It was God's idea. He was speaking by the Spirit, by the unction of the Spirit. And because he was saying, how are we going to get this out? How are we going to get this word out? God had taught him certain things about faith through his word and through allowing him to go through things. He said, I don't know how can one man, I mean, I'm doing everything I can, but how can I get this out? You start a school, I don't even know, I don't remember the last count how many thousands of graduates there are, and there's 200 and some odd schools all around the world now, and people are doing stuff. They would ask. I mean, people, they get these comments, and there was this one specific comment, it was of another denomination schools, they said, how do you get your graduates to go out and do something? Because they go out and they actually, I mean, they're acting on it. I mean, we can't get our people to go out and do anything. It says faith. They believe. They're going out and they have faith to go do something where there's not anything to see. But that was his commission, and that's part of our commission. We're in this family. Teach my people faith. That's part of our DNA. So that's something that our part of the family, when I say family, the part of the body of Christ, that's our focus. You have different parts that emphasize different things and are good. We shouldn't discount different parts of the body of Christ. But this is something we're strong on, and this is why we emphasize it, because it is part of our calling. That's part of my calling. And, I mean, I'm telling you, I could teach on faith and talk about faith. It never gets old. Just going, I mean, because the Word of God is fresh. And like I said, like I started out saying, whenever, if you you have a day and it's just like, oh, you know, it's just, you have a feeling of not quite being up. You don't need, now I'm not knocking this, okay? I'm not saying I'm perfect in it, because sometimes you just want to go and veg out. But, so I'm not saying this is bad, but you don't need, the thing that's not, is going to put life in you, is not going to watch a movie, is not to go eat a bunch of your favorite food, oh, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, is not to go watch it, sports on television, you know, it. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but sometimes we're like, I just need this. When really, you know what you really need? Is you need an injection of faith. Now, not all injections. People do all kinds of injections in the world, and they're not good, and they're addictive. But God getting a dose of His Word and your spirit being strong, because like we start when we were praying, your spirit is alive to God. And just like you need physical food, we need spiritual food. So when you feel weak, have you ever felt like, you know, you haven't eaten for a while and you start to feel weak physically, you know, your blood sugar's dropping? Anybody ever experienced that? Of course you have. If you're alive, you know, kids may not know that's what's happening, but, you know, you're like, oh, I just need to eat. Well, you can feel weak. And, you know, you can start to shake if it's in a certain area. You know, you just feel like, I just need something. Well, what is it? You need some food. And then you eat and you're like, oh, that's better. Right? There's one, this associate pastor at Rhema, he's funny. He was our school of the Bible teacher. So, you know, Rhema is really big. And so they have what they call School of the Bible Sunday School. But they broke them into different age groups and then different marital status. So ours was the 30 to 40 marrieds. But people, I mean, it's kind of hard. People didn't really obey the age groups because, well, think about it. I mean, especially if you're somewhere for like 5 years and you get to know all these people and then you turn 41, what you know all these people, so you don't want to just go into the new class. So they just stayed. And so it was the 30 to 40, but we had, you know, high 20s to 50. It was just this broad group. But anyway, he taught this. And so this was before service, you know, you'd come into that and then you'd go over to the main service and he would teach on marriage nearly every Sunday, you know, because that's what's married. I mean, he's pumping you full of that. But anyway, he would say, he goes, when somebody was like upset around where he was growing up and, you know, they're starting to get kind of feisty, he was like, have you eaten something lately? Or are you tired? One of the two. And we think we like to think we're so grown up, but when a kid is all acting up, are they hungry? Are you tired? And of course, if they're little, do you need a diaper change? I mean, which thing is it? And sometimes we think we're adults. Well, I mean, sometimes you're grumpy and it's like, have you eaten? Or are you just too tired? You know, sometimes we're like, oh, this guy is falling. It's like, shut up and go to sleep and it'll look better in the morning. Right? We as adults need to sometimes be like, I'm just tired. Nothing's wrong. I'm just tired. But naturally, you can feel those things. Well, spiritually, you need to be fed spiritually. You're not on autopilot. You will never get to the point where you don't need to be fed spiritually. Never on this earth. You have to have. So when you're feeling the symptoms of just don't know, I mean, stuff's not looking good, it's not something physical, it's just like, what we need to get, we need to realize I need some faith put in me right now. And that's a good time. You need to just pop open the Word and read it. If you're in your car, you need to just put on something that's going to put faith into you. Or even at your, if you're at home, if you need, I mean, that's why we have those messages on the website. It'll take your mind off what's going on and put it, yes, this is the Word, yes. Because you can start to think stuff isn't looking good because you're walking by sight. And sometimes you need just to jerk yourself away from that and put it back on the Word. Yes, God is faithful. Yes, He's true. Yes, He came through for us. Yes, He's going to come through for us now. Well, what does that? That's faith getting injected into you. You need to be putting your eyes back on God. So I love talking about faith. Faith is how we receive from God. It's not a corner thing. It's not like, well, that's a, you know, pet subject. It's how we relate to God. If we know how faith operates, you can receive anything. You praise and worship Him by faith. You can't see Him. You can't feel Him. People try to relate to Him with their emotions. You don't relate to God with your emotions. You relate to Him by His Word and what He says about Himself. And you take it by faith and you believe it. And this is some of the things we may touch on. But God is good and His mercy endures forever. And we just need to be full of who He is and be encouraged. And just going over these lessons have always been just a blessing to me. You know, over just teaching on this subject and then coming out of the service, I mean, just always feel higher. Just like, you know, just put something in you. So we read Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've been talking about what faith is. And we've talked about some of the things it's not. And then you said faith is an action. And so I just want you to look at these two verses of Scripture in John 20. And then you still have your finger in Romans. You can let Hebrews go, but Romans 4, and then John 20. Look at John 20, 24. We're going to look at this again. We looked at this somewhere talking about how faith comes, but we're just going to look at this and go a little bit, touch on some of these same scriptures here. But you see two kinds of faith. Here we're going to see Thomas, and then we're going to look at Abraham. We're just going to look at them kind of side by side. John 20, verse 24 says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. He said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And see, that is natural human faith. Every sinner has that type of faith. And you hear it. You hear what people say. Well, I'm not going to believe it unless I see that. I mean, unless I see that face to face, right in front of me, I'm not going to believe that. Well, what is that? That's natural human faith. And you have to operate by natural human faith in the world. You know, if you see a train coming down the tracks and you're approaching the tracks, if you say, I don't believe that train is there, and proceed, and I don't see the flashing lights, I'm not going to go by what I see, you could wind up dead. It's not a bad thing to walk by sight, you know? If you're about to cross the street, and the white, you know, the light as the walk signal, the white guy looking like he's walking, you know, on the little indicator there versus the red hand that's saying is to stop. But you say, I can walk. But You hear the rev of an engine, and you see a car racing down the street. I don't care what you believe, if you step out because you think you have the right of way, again, you could end up dead. So it's not bad to walk by sight in feelings. We need natural human faith, right? It's not like we're supposed to shut off that. But when you're talking about God kind of faith, when you're talking about Bible faith, you don't go by what you see, you don't go by what you feel, you only go by what you believe. Because in that case, it doesn't matter what you see before you, what you feel, you're going by what God said, and that trumps anything in the natural. So it takes both to navigate this realm. We emphasize Bible faith because that's what we're teaching on, how to relate to God. We know something about natural human faith, but it's like Pastor Hagin would always say, it's the natural and the supernatural, when they come together, they create an explosive force for God. And you know what? So many people have it either or. It's either, it's all head, it's only what you can see, what you feel, and it's all head knowledge. It's not heart knowledge. And even Christians, and that's what we're talking about here, because Thomas, he was, you know, with Jesus, and he's saying, if I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it. You have a lot of Christians that are in that boat. And we were talking earlier about starting things, you know, people going out from Ramah and starting things. It takes faith to go and start something or to do something that God said without any visible evidence of it. But there's a lot of Christians that are like, well, where's the money going to come from? I have to know. I have to have a plan and see all the money come in before it'll happen. That's not the way it works. What is your guarantee? What God said. And see, if we're going to go by what we see, and with it, dealing with God, it's not going to work. So some people are just, even in Christianity, are just looking at things, and it's head faith. And that's what we're looking at here, head faith versus heart faith. It's head. It's just natural. But then some people are thinking it's all spiritual. No, you need to know how to receive from God. You need to know what the Bible says. But they won't do anything in the world about the natural. Like, well, I'm just going to ignore all that. I don't have to think about the natural at all, because I'm just going to walk by faith. Well, yes, you ought to obey God and walk by faith, but you don't shut off your brain, like what we were just saying, you know, with the train or with the car. But you also, you know, if there's something is wise to do, unless God is telling you something specifically else, you shouldn't just buck every trend and buck anything in the natural and say, well, you know, throw all that out because I'm walking by faith. That's not what the Bible teaches. Go look at Proverbs. It's chock full of wisdom that you can use to navigate relationships, navigate business. You don't throw all that out because God told you something. It's God's word trumping anything in the natural. And if common wisdom or business practice would tell you one thing, but God's telling you to do a different thing, then you go with God. You just make sure it's God. But it's the combination of the two that you walk with in to navigate this world. But when we're talking about walking in faith toward God, it is not head faith. It is not natural faith. And that's what you see here with Thomas. He's totally walking by sense knowledge. That's totally what it is. Verse 25 again, the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Notice that. I will not. See, it's an act. Do you realize believing faith is an act of the will? Well, when people say, when they're going by feelings, they'll think they can't believe. No, it's an act of your will. Thomas said, I won't believe it. He could have, though. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace to you.' Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. Now, you can keep your finger there so we can look at a few different verses, flip back there. But flip over to Romans 4:17 and you see Abraham, which is an example of heart faith. Romans 4:17, keep your finger in John though. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So you can't see it if it doesn't exist in the natural realm. You can't see it, but God calls those things that be not as though they were. Even if they don't exist, he calls them that they are. Who contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Notice that. He wasn't weak in faith, so he didn't consider his own body. Even though, you know, by natural standards, he didn't have any hope in the natural. I mean, if he's looking at the natural, he's old, his wife's old. That's what it says in verse 19. He said, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. So see here, natural human faith would tell you, buddy, you're done dealing. You're not going to have a kid. Your wife is not going to have a kid. Hang it up. Right? You have no hope in the natural. If you're going by sight, if you're going by feelings, you're done. But God said something else, so you don't go by what you see then. Now, if God didn't tell you're going to have a child when you're 100, then don't expect it. You know, don't say, well, Sarah and Abraham, well, yeah, but God told them something specific. So you don't override it unless God says something, and see where people get into trouble as they start thinking God told them something. They get something in their head that's really their idea, and they go act on it, and it doesn't work, and they sold all they had, and they went and gave it away, or they invested in something they thought God was telling them, and God didn't tell them, and then they're hurting, and they're like, well, that faith stuff doesn't work. Faith is believing what God said. If he didn't tell you something, you're in trouble already, because whatever you're acting on is not acting what he said, it's just making stuff up, and then that's a problem. But here, notice that Abraham, he didn't consider the natural. Why didn't he consider the natural? Because God told him something else. That's when you don't consider the natural. But if God didn't tell you something else, you better consider the natural. You don't just go around ignoring the natural because you're a Christian. Some people do. And other people have names for those people. Nuts, weird, flaky, woo-woo. Not trying to be mean, just, you know, being a Christian isn't weird. But if you act weird, and no, obeying God isn't weird. If you're really obeying God, that'd be like saying, you know, God's weird. Because if you're doing what he told you to do and it looks weird, I mean, let me help you, though. I mean, some things may look out of the ordinary to a natural mind, but if people will sync up, it's not weird. People can act weird in the flesh. There's a difference between something somebody doesn't understand spiritually, but there's a realness about it, and some people when they're just, it's flesh. And flesh stinks. And when you see weirdness, you know, people get weird. It's not just in church. They get weird out in the streets, wherever. Do something in the name of God. People know, and you're, you know, when you do it out of pride or do it because you just, it's just your flesh, it doesn't look good. But when we act on what God said, it works. Verse 20, it said, he did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Notice that. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, even though he didn't see it. So you can see the difference between the two. Thomas said, go back and look at keep them both open. Look at what Thomas said. Verse 25. He said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Unless I see, I will not believe. Jesus said, blessed, in verse 29, blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. Thomas said, unless I see it, I won't believe it. But Jesus said, those that haven't seen yet believe, they are blessed. Now look at, then you can look over at Abraham. In verse 17, you see that God calls those things which do not exist as though they were. So like we said, you can't see them, but faith will call those things that don't exist as though they did. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So even when you don't see it, it doesn't exist in the natural. God said something, so you believe it. That your evidence is not the sight. Your evidence is what God said. And that's the difference between head faith and heart faith. Head is going, trying to figure it out and saying, I have to have evidence with senses. Heart says, God's word is the evidence. So, here's some steps based on what Abraham said, or what this account of Abraham. You can see this readily in these scriptures here. Not all formulas are bad. You can get rote with formulas, but these are steps you can see Abraham took based on these scriptures, and I'll show them to you based on what he said, or based on what it says here. But when you're going to believe God in Bible faith, in believing Him, Bible-based faith, these steps will work every time. Number one, have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. Number one, have God's word for whatever it is you desire to receive from God. Now, you can see that Abraham, he had that word. Verse 17, Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God told Abraham, when he was Abram, I have made you a father of many nations. God said it, past tense, even though it's not existing. So Abraham had the word of God on the subject. Like we said, you should not go around expecting you're going to have a child when you're way past age just because, unless God said something. So number one step is you have to have God's word on it. You have to have it in the Bible, written word, or you have to have it spoken to your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's just as powerful. And you're going to have specific words like that because the Bible does not tell you who to marry. The Bible does not tell you to start a business. The Bible does not tell you what person or what job to take. The Bible doesn't tell you to go start a ministry. Those directions are not laid out in here. General principles are, and we should adhere to the principles. It does tell us a lot of things, but you're not going to get specific direction for your life in the written word of God. That has to come spirit to spirit, from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. But if you get a word from God and you know it's God, and being led by the Spirit is another subject, and we have messages up on the website about that. But the Bible said, as many as are sons of God, or as many as hear the voice of God, are sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So every child of God can hear His voice. And the biggest way He leads believers is just by bearing witness with their spirit, a peace. But you get a sense of what to do, that's powerful. And you can stand on that. If it's God and He told you to do something, then you can stand on that. But you have to have His word on whatever it is you desire. So typically we're talking about, in this case, believing him for something that's written in the word. So general principles. If you find it in the word, then, and it's a promise, or it's already something that has been done, or something that has been laid out as accomplished by the finished work of Jesus, then you can stand on that. So number two, believe God's word. So number one, you have to have God's word for what you desire, then you have to believe it. How does faith come? Comes by hearing the word of God, but you have to choose to believe it, right? Like we just read with Thomas, he said, I will not believe. You can hear the word and reject it. Even though faith is coming, you can say, faith is coming, and you say, I will not. That's just rejecting it. You're pushing it back. Faith's coming up, you say no. So faith comes, you have to say, I will believe. And you can see that Abraham did that. It says, in the presence of him whom he believed. He believed God. So the word came, Abraham believed. So we see what the word of God says, we can choose to believe. Number three, consider not the contradictory circumstances. Do not consider the contradictory circumstances. So you can clearly see that. You can see, we'll read through verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He had the word of God in the presence of him whom he believed. He believed God. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. There it's talking about him believing. Again, so that he became the father of many nations. Now notice that. God told him he was the father of many nations. He believed God. Then he saw. Then he became the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he had God's word, he believed God's word, and then he didn't consider anything contrary to God's word. See, Thomas, he said, I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it. He was walking by natural faith. But when we're talking about believing God, if you have God's word and you believe God's word, now it's time to shut everything down that contradicts his word. Natural, I don't care. I don't care who said it. The doctor says this. What does God's word say? I already have God's word, so I am not going to consider that. That doesn't mean I don't listen to the doctor. That doesn't mean I start spouting off in the doctor's face when I'm in his office. I'll listen to him. There's a difference between you can listen to it, but then you don't consider it. You don't have to say, because the doctor says you're going to die and God says you're going to live. Well, I have two testimonies. Which one am I going to believe? I'm going to believe God. If I'm going to be like Abraham, I'm going to say, I know my wife is old and I'm old, doesn't look like anything, but God told me I will have a child. I will be the father of many nations, so I'm going to have to shut this down here. I'm not going to look at the fact that, naturally speaking, I'm done, and I'm going to look at what God said. And you will find you have to do this in every area. If you're going to believe God, you're going to have to ignore some stuff. And that takes discipline sometimes because it's screaming in your face. And that's what goes back to what we were talking about. When it's screaming loud, you need something to scream louder. You need to get faith into you. And what is that? You need to start hearing God's word. You need it to come in you. You need to take your mind off the junk you're seeing because it's screaming at you, and you need to put it back on what God said. Get your spirit built up so that you can see what he said. But it's going to take you ignoring some things. Number four, give praise to God for the answer. Give praise to God for the answer. You can see that. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How was he strengthened? Giving glory to God. Do you realize praising God will strengthen your faith? Doesn't give you faith, but you praising God for what he did, it's building you up. It's encouraging you. If you're speaking out, plus if you're speaking the word out, giving praise to God by speaking the word out, you are hearing yourself say it, and you are in a positive feedback loop. That's a good way just to break a funk. If something's trying to come over you, you just start speaking it out of your mouth what God said. No, I will have a good day. When you're going to work and stuff is trying to be dark and I don't know this going to... No, this is going to be a great day. God has given me wisdom. He's going to show me what to do. He's going to show me how to handle that situation. I'm going to have an awesome day. I'm going to crush this day by the grace of God. You start speaking like that, something is, you're feeding your spirit. You're getting stronger. So, doing these four things, this isn't like, you know, this is clearly scripture. This is just following what Abraham did. Number one, have faith or have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. So you got to have God's word. If it's something you're making up, not going to work, but you have his word. Number two, you believe God's word. Number three, consider not the contradictory circumstances. Shut anything else down. Number four, give praise to God for the answer. That's Bible faith. You acting on this is putting God's word first, shutting everything down, and then praising him until you see it happen. And that'll work every time. Why? It's the word of God. That's not something any man came up with. It's God's word. Amen. Praise God. That's hard faith. Maybe we'll get back into that next time and pick up there and go over some more stuff there. But we still talking about what faith is, but God is good.